Hey, greetings. This is Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 radio. Hey, I want to talk to you today, just really briefly, about a really interesting witnessing experience I had, and I'm calling this audio, That's Too Extreme. That's Too Extreme. You'll get it as we go along here. So I went to town with Sister Debbie. We had to go run some errands, get some building materials, and I went into a feed store to get some things that I needed, and there was a young guy in there and another little bit older guy sitting there, and I had my van parked in their parking lot, and of course I got Don't Perish on it, Repent, Come to Jesus, different signs say different things at different times, and the young man looked at my van and he said, "Are you a preacher?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And he said, "Oh," he said, "what do you do? Go around with your van?" And I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "We live in our van. When I'm on the road," I said, "I'm a traveling street preacher. I also teach online at a website." I said, "We travel the country. We call people to repentance." He goes, "Oh, that's really interesting." And the other guy was sitting there, very quiet, not saying anything. And this young man seemed really interested. And he's like, "Well, what denomination are you?" And I talked to him for probably, I would say 20 minutes, half an hour maybe, and no other customers were in the store, and he felt free enough to keep talking. And I said, "Oh, no, we don't belong to denominations." I said, "Who created all the denominations?" He goes, "Man." I said, "Yep." I said, "We don't adhere to any of that." I said, "We follow Christ. We keep his word and his ways." And he was really interested, and I preached the gospel to him. And he listened, and I shared with him how American churchianity tells you, raise your hand, say a prayer, we're all going to sin a lot, you just go to heaven because what Jesus did. And I explained to him that if you hold on to sin, that's sin that Jesus won't cover. Hebrews 10:26 tells us that. Willful sin that we won't surrender and confess is on our account, not going to be covered. It's not going to be covered by Christ. And he goes, "That makes sense." And then we talked about how churchianity is false so many ways. We talked about Christmas. We talked about Easter. Just general basic truth stuff that I cover with people. I mentioned to him how they call the building their church. And I said, "Are you married?" He said, "Yeah." "With kids?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Do you drive by your house and say, that's my family?" Pointing to the house. And he goes, "No, that'd be dumb." I said, "Your family's your wife and your children, right? Not that building." I said, "But what do people do?" He goes, "They drive by a building and call it the church." And I said, "Yeah, that's exactly right." So I explained to him, and he goes, "That's crazy." He goes, "That doesn't make any sense." I said, "Yep, that's what traditions do to you, false traditions." And I explained to him how the word church in the Bible is not really a good translation. He asked me about Bible translations, and I told him about ecclesia being the true word, called out ones, and he was really interested in that. And it went awesome. This young man was like a sponge. He was soaking up what I was teaching him. He was asking questions. I was sharing with him. And I knew it was about time. He's working. I don't want to talk to him for, you know, longer than that. And he rang up my bill for me, and I said, "I'm going to go get you a gospel card out of my van and a pamphlet if you want it." He goes, "Yeah, I'd like that." And I turned to the other guy that was quiet, but he was given sour snare looks the whole time. And I turned to him, and I said, "Can I get you a track too?" And he goes, "Nope, don't want one." And I said, "You don't want one?" I said, "Don't you want a test for the truth to see if I'm preaching the truth?" He goes, "I think it's all too extreme. I'm not into being extreme." And he just turned away and snubbed me. And I said, "Are you an Anabaptist?" And he looked at me, and the other guy said, "He's a Mennonite." He kind of ratted him out, you know. He said, "He's a Mennonite." And I said, "A Mennonite?" I said, "You know what?" I said, "In love, I said, you know, they're keeping a lot of false man-made traditions. I talked to you about some of them, Christmas, Easter." He just shook his head. He goes, I don't want that. I don't want it. And I said, "Okay." And I said, I turned to the other guy. I said, "There's a good example." I said, "Mennonites." I said, "You know where their name comes from?" He goes, "No, where?" I said, "Menno Simons was a godly man about 500-600 years ago that lived, was an Anabaptist. They named themselves after him." He's like, "Really?" I said, "Yep." I said, "That's sinful per the word of God." I said, "Could you imagine 100 years if people are walking around calling themselves Jamesites? Because my name is James." I said, "I would not want that. I would be totally unhappy. I would rebuke them." And he totally got it. And the other guy got up and said, What did you want? And I told him what my order was. He went to go get it and put it in the trailer for me. And this young guy thanked me. And so I went out to the van. The other guy was gone by then. And I got a gospel card and an extended track for him. And I even got an Anabaptist track and a gospel card. And I walked back in and I gave it all to the young man. I said, this is for you. I said, let me know. I can help you in the faith. I'd be happy to Bible study with you. You can reach me. You can call. He goes, oh, thanks a lot. And then I said, this is for your Anabaptist Mennonite friend. I said, in case he changes his mind. He goes, oh, that's nice of you. I said, yeah. I said, lay it out on the counter in case he changes his mind. So that was my awesome witnessing experience I wanted to share with you. And I want to tie it together with, that's too extreme. Isn't that sad that all I did was preach the truth? I never even said a word about the Anabaptist faith, but he already knew what I was saying. The other thing I should note is he asked me if we go to a certain park in another town. And I said, hey, we've been there. I said, we've gone there. We get water there. And I said, I do witness there. He said, I think I've seen you there. So this man might have known me. We're kind of well known in our area by the Anabaptists because we witnessed to so many of them, call them out of their false ways, call them to repentance. But I guess after that witnessing experience, I just want to talk to you about that's too extreme. It's so sad that he's trained up in this man-made tradition, dead, lukewarm religious system that he thinks the truth of God is too extreme. I want to read some verses to you to talk about the extreme nature of our God. Exodus 32, 26, 27. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who's on the Lord's side? Let him come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves and gathered unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side and go in and out from the gate to gate through the camp and slay every man his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. Yeah, go read that account. About 3,000 people, their relatives, were killed that day because of their rebellion against God. Does that sound extreme to you? It does to me. How about Psalm 5:5? It says, the foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Iniquity is sin. It tells us God hates those that work sin. Does that sound extreme to you? It does to me. How about Matthew 10:20-39? For it is not that ye speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaketh which is in you. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. So the Bible, Christ is asking us to lose our entire lives. That's pretty extreme, isn't it? Yeah, I think it is. How about Matthew 18:8-9? Therefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off. Cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into eternal hellfire, cast into hellfire. Jesus spoke some pretty extreme words, didn't he? He did indeed. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. That's pretty much everything you are, isn't it? That is really, really extreme. How about this? Jesus said this to the guy that he healed, and later he says this, John 5:14. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. This is the God that everybody says is just all love and all grace. Jesus is warning him to stop sinning. Sin no more. He said that on other occasions, or something worse is going to happen to you. That's pretty extreme words from our Savior. How about Apostle Paul, trained by Christ and the Holy Spirit? I remind people of this one, Galatians 5:11-12. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, Why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would that they would even cut off which trouble you. Go look up the Greek on that. Paul's telling the false teachers, the Judaizers, to cut their manhood off. Yeah, that's exactly what that says. Paul was pretty extreme. 1 Corinthians 5:5. Deliver such one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. A man was caught in sexual sin. Paul rebuked the people and said, toss him out. Let him go to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. Very, very extreme words. How about 1 Corinthians 11:28-31? But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. That word sleep means they die. That tells you that God's killing people, allowing them to die, taking their life because they're taking the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. That is extreme. 2 Thess 1:8-9, one of my favorite verses. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the power, from the glory of his power. Extreme words at his return, flaming sword, vanquishing those that don't know him or obey the gospel. That is extreme talk. Revelation 20:13-15. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which are in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. These are all extreme Bible verses. There's many, many more. I just wanted to read that to you after talking about that witnessing experience with that sad Mennonite man. He's so common among the Mennonites. Spiritually dead, could care less about the truth. And they're so void of the truth, they don't see that we serve a very extreme God. God killed people in the New Testament for one lie. He killed people in the Old Testament for doing one thing wrong, for strange fire. The truth is extreme. Eternal life is extreme. Eternal hell and gnashing of teeth is very extreme that Jesus warned about. And what our Savior did for us, his death, burial, and resurrection, is absolutely the most extreme. We need to give glory to our King Jesus for what he's done for us. And we need to fear God, knowing what he can do to us. These are extreme, extreme things. I every time I go out witnessing, I'm always brokenhearted, sad when I see religious people, Mennonites, Lutherans, Catholics, whatever, worldly people. They reject God's truth because they say, oh, that's just too extreme. And what it comes down to is they're holding on to this world. They're holding on to their flesh. They're holding on to man-made traditions. They're holding on to their own reasoning and logic. They're not holding to the truth and to the word of God. If they did, they would see God's word is very extreme. I hope that Mennonite man read the track I left for him. I hope he repents. He'd been raised on a soft, unbiblical, feminized, man-made ways. It's going to be to his demise. We know, talking about extreme, what Jesus said will happen when you're lukewarm. You're going to be spewed out of his mouth. More extreme language and talk. I want better for these men. I really hope and pray that young man that was seeking, that he reaches out, or that he goes to the website, or that he goes to his Bible and begins to seek the truth more. I could tell he was a Sunday churchgoer. He didn't say it, but I just could tell the things he was asking me. I hope that he comes out of that false system and seeks the extreme truth of God. What he saw was the truth being proclaimed, and he probably works with this Mennonite guy who never tells him the truth of God about anything, and the man could be, I don't know, he could be sinful, he could be hypocritical, he could be, he is, I could tell, spiritually dead, not interested in things of God. What a terrible testimony of an Anabaptist man when he should be a great witness and be salt and light out in the world. It's extreme to be salt and light in the world. Everywhere I go, I try to proclaim the gospel. That's an extreme thing to do. Oftentimes people don't like it. We've been told not to come back to stores or don't talk to certain people. Why? All we did was give them a gospel card. Not even street preaching. Not even calling them to repentance. All we did was share the truth in a gospel card. Yeah, no matter how you do it, put it on a card, write it on a cake, preach it on an amplifier, hold it on a sign, send them a letter. It's the word that cuts. Hebrews 4:12. It cuts. It's a double-edged sword. No matter how you do it, if they don't like it, they're not going to receive it. They don't like the extreme truth of God. They're not interested in being extreme. They're interested in being comfy, cozy, happy in their own flesh and their own traditions. But we go to call them to repentance because we want better for them. So that's my encouragement to you today. Preach the word. Make sure you have a good gospel card. Make sure you're living the word. And then be ready to answer those people that say, oh, you're so extreme. The Bible's extreme. Absolutely. We serve an extreme God. And what's coming in the world, the tribulation in the last days, you want to talk about extreme? You ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to get very, very terrible. The worst days ever, per Jesus, are coming. With much death and judgment, Satan judging, causing much havoc. He's going to make war with the saints. Then God's judgments on the earth for their rebellion. Yeah, you better get used to extreme. It is coming. Read the Word of God, know the Word of God, obey the Word of God, and you, by the Spirit, last thing, by the Spirit, you become comfortable with this extreme lifestyle. That if you become comfortable with safety, comfortable with lukewarm, compromised ways, comfortable in your flesh, comfortable in the world, comfortable with your family and friends, you're not going to be a useful tool of the Lord, are you? He's looking for those that will receive this extreme way and walk the narrow path to salvation. Hey, that's what I got for you today. Thanks for listening. I hope that edified you. A little bit of witnessing thrown in with the scriptures on being extreme. I hope you're an extreme seeker of the Most High God today. Let us know how we can help you. Go to don'tperish.com. Go to the teaching blog. All kinds of material there for you. And we try to pour out every day as we're living, following, seeking, preaching the Lord. We just want to edify, encourage others. That's why I tell about these witnessing experiences and share scripture and then share what God's given me to teach saints and seekers so they can find themselves on that narrow path. Hey, we love you all. Till next time, go out and have a glorious day. May God be praised.